Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers My Little Pony Issue 4. Some original Transformers art by Jim Lee and Herb Trimp go up for auction, and a Transformers virtual reality game has just launched. Today is Friday, December 4th, 2020, and this is episode 210 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that stumbled onto an awesome Christmas gift suggestion for any Transformers comics fan. Hope my wife's listening. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I'm any Transformers comics fan. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal to help keep the show going. Your support really helps us out and makes this whole thing possible, makes this whole operation successful. So thank you. Another way folks can help out the show is by buying some merchandise from our Tee Public store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out our friend K-Girl store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. This week, they're continuing some holiday sales at Tee Public. So all the t-shirts are $14 this week from December 2nd until December 6th. So right now, if you want to help us out, you can also get a hefty discount. So just use our link and buy anything from Tee Public, and that helps the show out. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop. This week, next week, we have the next episode in the Empire of Rust Transformers live play action RPG. And this is episode 38, Starball Space Wars. And that's coming out this Monday, December 7th. So hope you guys look forward to that. The story has been heating up on Empire of Rust, and lots of cool things going on, lots of exciting things happening. They're breaking into a prison, finding old friends, finding interesting artifacts. Should be fun. All right, so let's go on with the rest of the show and start off with some comics news. All right, well, first up, we've got some art from friend of the show, Josh Burcham. He is the regular artist on the upcoming Transformers Beast Wars comic that's coming next year, early next year. And on Twitter, he put out kind of a progression of how he did the cover for the Beast Wars comic. So you can see starting just from rough sketch to developing the line art to shading it, and then finally the colors. So it's a very cool set of images. You can check that out on Josh's Twitter. We got to get Josh back on the show, and we haven't talked to him in a while, and I'm sure he'd had lots of cool things to say about working on the Beast Wars comic. Josh, if you're out there still listening, we love you. Good luck. All right. Next bit of news. So there's a huge auction that is out, and this by the time this show goes up, there will still be a few more days left. But we record this a few days in advance. The price will probably be a little bit higher than what it is now, but it's already pretty high. But this is an auction for original art from a Transformers cover in Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics issue number 67, Transformers number 67. This art is special because it's done by superstar artist Jim Lee. You may remember him from such comics as X-Men, Wildcats, and he's now like chief creative officer for DC Comics.
He's done a Batman book or two.
Yeah.
Maybe. He's done a lot of comics art.
Yeah. He draws real good.
But yeah, so I mean, Jim Lee's done everything else, so why not have done Transformers back in the day? I do remember this was a particularly good issue. This was like a future, alternate future timeline issue where Galvatron and the Decepticons had won. Unicron had eaten Cybertron, and the Decepticons had taken over the Earth. So it's a really cool issue. And this art, the cover is very iconic. It's a very cool image. So, yeah. So I, you know, when I first saw this, I was like, oh, this could be, something I could pick up. I like original Marvel Comics art. Let's see what it is. And, I clicked on it and my hopes were dashed immediately. currently this thing stands, the current bid is at, $9,800. They accept bids in increments of $100. So your minimum bid right now, as of this recording, is $9,900 if you want to get in on this. And I'm sure by the time this episode goes up on Friday, it'll probably be past that. But good luck if you're interested in this. But yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this thing right now and like I see fingerprints in the like in the title bar as well. Like, you know, when he put the cover together. So, I mean, you're also going to get like Jim Lee's fingerprints in this.
Maybe some DNA,
a little bit of DNA. And, you know, we all know that DNA transfers art skills. So, you know, yeah, I think this is definitely worth it for, you know, the ability to clone Jim Lee. So I think, yeah, do that.
I just think it's funny. Well, one thing, is the $1 at the bottom, is that, was that the cover price of the issue?
Yes.
Yeah, you can see that in the top corner.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if that was what the original person bought this for. And I'm like, wow, what a deal. But, but then also, as someone who did two covers, he writes his name on the bottom as Jim More Than Meets the Eye Lee. Like, sir, you only did two covers. You need to draw a little bit better.
This was the second, though. His first was 53, so
well, and his,
he was well,
issue 67.
Well established as a cover artist for Transformers by this time.
Yeah, but I was looking around on the site, and there is a Herb Trimpe cover that is much more reasonable at $965 right now.
Oh, okay.
Is it a Transformers cover?
Yeah, it's a Transformers number 26.
The
mechanic.
Why also, are we not talking about that?
And also, in January, starting January 7th next year, Livia Remedeli has an original Starscream art that pencil drawing that's going to be going up. And that's starting bid at $1, so you know, you can get in on the ground floor.
Unbelievable.
I'm curious why, like, since this is original art, why is all the like all the title graphics and text is everything is already placed on here. Are those like separate pieces of paper?
Yeah, that's
there?
Usually the case.
Glued on.
Yep.
And like, I see like part of the title is obscured from Galvatron's cannon in hand. Is it like slid under there or is, how is that?
Yeah, I mean, might have like cut around.
They would have cut it out. Yeah.
This is before Photoshop, Charles. They had two layers themselves.
I know. That's true, yeah.
The layering term in things like Photoshop is because physically they had layers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very cool, yeah. I guess we'll link to the Herb Trimpe art, too, for anyone who's interested in that. But, yeah, that's slightly more reasonable, I guess. If you, it's 10% of this bid?
Mm-hmm.
So... All right, well, that's all the comics news we got for this week, so let's move on to our comic review.
All right, we are looking at Transformers My Little Pony number 4. This is the final issue of the series. We have two covers this week. The first cover, cover A, is by Tony Fleeks, and it basically has an all-out battle. You're seeing mostly the good guys. You see Megatron in there, and, you know, it's mostly the good guys. It kind of resembles a panel from the book. And then the, I guess it's the RI cover, is by Sarah Petrie-Droche, and it shows Applejack facing off against a bunch of Insecticons. So, Daryl, let's start with you. Which one of these two do you like?
Oh, I like this, the IR cover. Sarah's cover really does pop. She knows how to draw everything, and it shows here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot less detail in her cover than there is in the Fleeks cover, but Tony Fleeks cover is it kind of turns me off with the way that the robots are drawn.
Yeah, I can see that. Charles, how about you? Which one do you like?
So I agree with Daryl about Tony Fleeks's robot designs are not my favorite, but I do like the cover A, the Tony Fleeks cover, just because I like that composition. I think it just is a really cool image showing the whole battle and the ponies and the Transformers and Megatron's big profile and the kind of speed lines and everything. I just think it's a nicely composed image, even though I don't like the way the robots are rendered. But I mean, Sarah Peter-Drew O'Shea, of course, her art is great, and all the Insecticons and Applejack look great on the retail incentive cover. But I still got to pick cover A.
Cool. Yeah, I think I really like them both for different reasons. But I mean, like Daryl said, Sarah can draw everything. But I think with this one, I would go with cover A. Just the dynamicness of it, and it kind of, at least the top portion of it, kind of reminds me of the space scene from the classic box art. At least like the stars and clouds and stuff. All right, into the story. There are two stories in the book. The first story is called Strength in Numbers and is written by Ian Flynn, art by Sarah Peter-Drew O'Shea, colors by Joanna LaFuente, letters by Jake M. Wood. Editor is Megan Brown. Consulting editor is David Mariette. Group editor is Bobby Curno. And this is a fairly short, I mean, they're both the same same length, both 10 pages, but this one went very quick. On Sweet Apple Acres Farm, Applejack is dealing with a new type of pest, Insecticons. They're eating up her orchard, apples, trees, and everything else. She tries everything she can think of without much success to get rid of them. As she regroups, Discord pops in, and she initially accuses him of causing this, but he says he has nothing to do with it. He's there to help, and suddenly, the rest of the Apple family arrives in portals. The Apple family overpower and fight off the Insecticons quickly and defeat them. So it was fairly short and sweet. It was fun. There were some fun moments where, like, one of the ponies just accidentally knocks the mind control
Cerebro shells.
Yeah, the Cerebro shell knocks it back and just accidentally gets control over Bombshell. Is it Bombshell?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So that was cute, but it was a very short and sweet story. What did you guys think of this one, and Charles?
I thought it was. I enjoyed it. I especially like the when they have the My Little Pony endgame scene where all the ponies come and team up to fight the Insecticons. I thought that was cute. And yeah, I definitely go ahead.
Saying it was missing one of the ponies saying Applejack on your left.
Exactly. The only one minor complaint I'll have is that I see the deluxe Insecticons, but they don't have their own color schemes. Like they all just get the purple and black color schemes for the regular Insecticons. So that was a minor nitpick, but I thought it was cool. And yeah, it's a fun little story. Mm-hmm. Short and sweet. Of course, they don't really explain how, like, ropes, cowboy ropes and stomping fights, blasters and lasers. The Insecticons don't bother shooting any lasers or anything. So
there's a lot of suspension of disbelief, in a story about ponies and robots.
Yeah.
Well, Daryl, what were your thoughts?
Well, I liked the art in this one. It was quite nice. Everything looked kind of fun, and everything was drawn really well. It was a fun little story. This was the second story in a row that we got this Discord character that I'd never heard of before until the last issue. So it's a little bit of continuity. This thing seems to have really a lot of power. So that's an interesting character that seems to be made up of all kinds of different beings. It's an interesting story. It was fun, and it was a lot of nice big splash pages. I like that as well. The story really wasn't too complicated. That it did have a lot of fun and whatnot. It was cool.
I did like the first one here. It's a fun story.
Cool. All right. The second story is called Finale, and it's written by James Asmus, art by Tony Fleeks, colors by Lauren Perry, letters by Neil Yukitake. I'm sure I butcher his name every time. Editor is Megan Brown, consulting editor David Mariette, and group editor is Bobby Curnow. So, Smolder of the Dragons reporting to Princess Cadence that the Decepticons are now missing. Suspicious of this, she thinks that they're up to something, and they are, as Megatron blasts through the wall. He and Queen Chrysalis demand that the magic of Equestria be given to them so Megatron can use it to make a new form of Energon. Princess Cadence is having none of this and reveals that she's made some friends lately. Twilight Sparkle arrives with Optimus Prime, who apologizes for his fellow Cybertronian. Prime makes a final request of Megatron to stand down, but the Decepticon refuses and the battle begins. In the madness of the battle, Twilight mentions that she has friends coming from all over Equestria to help. Megatron realizes that Chrysalis has misled him as to how easy this is going to be. And she says that even if it's a long war, they'll still take Equestria and promises that she will never cast the spell to reopen the bridge that brought the Cybertronians there. However, that's not needed, as on the other side of the space bridge, Grimlock and Spike have repaired the space bridge and have arrived just in time to join the battle. Chrysalis orders a retreat, but Megatron grabs her and wants the power that she promised. However, Twilight Sparkle combines her magic with the power of Optimus Prime's Matrix, and the Decepticons are sent back through the space bridge. With the battle over, Optimus apologizes again for the trouble they've caused, but Twilight explains that they judge based on people's actions, and she's glad that the Autobots choose to be kind. Back on Cybertron, Optimus destroys the space bridge to prevent this from happening again, while elsewhere Megatron asks Shockwave if he was successful in getting the magic. He wasn't, but he did get the coordinates before the space bridge was destroyed. Maybe they can bring that magic to Cybertron. So I think this is the kind of the culmination from the first story we saw in issue one. And it was a fun little battle. Lots more words in this one than the last one. I'm not sure how I feel about Optimus saying transform and trot out, but you know, that was a thing. Probably the one thing that made me laugh out loud in the story. There's a couple things. One, Soundwave got a pie in the face. I was kind of, I guess, following up on Shockwave getting pies in the face an issue or two ago. But then, I guess, is it Twilight Sparkle did this with the Megatron got a magical orange cap on the end of his fusion cannon? And that, when I saw that, I chuckled. Having, you know, had Masterpiece Megatron in the past, and it comes with an orange cap. But it was fun. The art definitely was not as good as the first story, but it was fun. Clearly, the ponies were a lot better drawn than the robots. But Tony Fleeks has his own style, and it was consistent within itself. I like that Spike, when he and Grimlock came in, Spike was wearing an exosuit from the movie. Little touches like that I thought were great. And at the end, you do see kind of TV screens doing the faction symbol flip. So that was neat. So, Daryl, what were your thoughts on this story?
Well, in contrast to the first story, I really didn't like the art in this one. So the ponies are definitely the stars in this one, like you said. But there are some little nods here and there, like you had pointed out. So the cap and the spike in the exosuit, and that was just, you know, there's some, like you said, there's a lot of fun little nods. The story is still very fun and a good read. This one, just the art was not as well good as Sarah had done in the first story. But it was, this didn't really deter the enjoyment of the story. It I don't know. It made me hope that I think Tony would do better on pony related stuff rather than Transformer stuff, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yeah,
but it's definitely a fun story still. You don't get pies in the face of Transformers very often, so
no, we need more of that. Yeah.
But it's a great story. These are all fun, and it did make it, like, this story here did kind of fly in the face of my theory going, you know, through these books, this, what is her name? The Dark Queen or whatever her
Queen
name
Chrysalis.
Is. Yeah, that one. So she appears in the first issue and kind of teams up with Megatron. And then you don't see her until this last one. So this kind of makes it seem like they all four books are still in one big kind of, you know, story going forward, right? They're just a whole bunch of little stories here and there.
You're just seeing bits and pieces of what's happening all throughout this whole saga.
Exactly. So, yeah, so they kind of pulled it together at the end and made a, you know, kind of stuck the landing on this whole story. It's a fun story. The 4-issue mini is interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this done again.
Yeah, I mean, it's set up to have a sequel that's set on Cybertron instead of Equestria.
Yeah.
All right, Charles, what were your thoughts on this?
I pretty much agree with everything Daryl said, including like both the art and the story. I mean, I really enjoyed the story. I thought it was cute. The Transformer art is just the main sticking point. The ponies are all fine. Is Tony Fleeks the regular artist on the My Little Pony series?
I'm not sure.
The only thing that kind of makes the Transformers look weird is their faces. Like the way he draws their eyes with the little dark spots around their glowing optics. It just, you know, that's kind of the only thing that really bothers me about the characters. I mean, everything else it's pretty much like more cartoony and less streamlined, which is fine for the, you know, for the pony look. But yeah, the faces are just giving me a problem. I think other than that, it's a fun story and it's you know, it ticks all the boxes. I do like the Spike and you know, the little wink and the nod. Like it's not the Transformers Spike, it's the other Spike, but he's still got an exosuit. And everything came together. The one thing I would say is, like, for the whole series, they didn't really make it clear that this was supposed to be like a whole through line of this, you know, this background subplot going on with Queen Chrysalis and the Decepticons. Like we don't see anything from them except for that first story in the first issue. Like it would have been nice to have, like, I don't know, just a mention of these characters, like, doing stuff in the background throughout the rest of the stories, just so that you it gets kept in the back of your head. But it really felt like these two bookends were just, you know, those are the only two things that are connected, and all the other stories are kind of just random.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there is a lot more that's not being told.
Yeah.
They're just trying to kind of spotlight a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Tony Fleeks has done a lot of My Little Pony comics. Mm-hmm. 248-ish.
Okay. so he might
get 248 credits, but he's done a lot of My Little Pony.
Mm-hmm. And I did like the final page with the little scene transition at the very end. You know, that was really fun to see that rendered in the comic page.
Mm-hmm.
And just play in your head. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, it looks like it was a combination of the My Little Pony and Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that will be our review of My Little Pony Transformers number 4.
All right. So let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in media news this week, we got some news about the Transformers virtual reality game by Robocom VR, and basically it is launching now. So it's a game that is not something that you can get on your mobile device. You gotta be a participant here. So it's launching at the Dubai Mall VR Park. So not really something we can all get to right now. And that's the first place it's going to be, but hopefully it'll come out in other places soon. And essentially, you're going to be controlling Optimus Prime or Bumblebee and using a virtual reality robotic chair. So you'll sit in that. There is a Transformers VR trailer to watch where you can see some gameplay, and then they show you the chair you sit in. It's interesting. So I'm sure that it's going to look badass when you're sitting in the chair moving around and you've got the headset on and whatnot. Right now, during looking through the trailer, it looks okay. But I imagine it looks a lot better when you've got the headset on and stuff.
I'm wondering, in this time of COVID, who really wants to go sit in a chair that a bunch of other people sat in?
Well, have a headset on.
People breathed on somebody else's face. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of protocols in place for all that kind of stuff, but yeah. Who knows?
Just get a personal one installed in your house. Problem solved.
I'm sure this will eventually make its way to things like the Oculus devices and stuff.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And you'll just have to get the Oculus chair for your house.
Yeah. You don't have one?
Not yet. It's on order. But yeah, so that's coming out now. So be on the lookout for that if that's something you wanted to try. And next up, we have, it's an anniversary, and it's the 10th anniversary of Transformers Prime. So 10 years ago this week, we watched the first episode of Transformers Prime, and, we are celebrating with that. So the website, TFW 2005 has been, showcasing a couple of the characters and going through some stuff over the, from the show, showing off some of the toys. I remember 10 years ago when the first edition toys came out, and they were hot as fire. It was crazy how those first edition toys were like insanely hot, to the point that the Cliff Jumper toy was hot and the Voyager Bulkhead was hot. And that Voyager Bulkhead was impossible to find. But at the time, I worked at Toys R Us, and I was able to get myself one or two. And I think I helped out a couple collectors that were looking for some that I knew, because they were saying, I can't find Voyager Bulkhead anywhere. So if you see one, get one. And I did. So, and then I remember helping out some Australian collectors, because they were not able to get any of the Cliff Jumpers. I think I bought 8 Cliff Jumpers and sent them all to Australia for these guys. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and it was just a store. Like, the guy had a store and he was just going to put them up and sell them to the collectors up there. So, yeah. So I was trying to help out with some Australian collectors, and being as I consider Australia my second home, it made me feel good. Plus I think I made $5 or something on each Cliff Jumper. So, but yeah, no, so That was my experience with the first run of those toys. I mean, there was some really great molds in that line. I remember it fondly. I did sell my entire collection of Transformers Prime a few years ago to Brad. He's local to Jeremy. Yeah. So he bought it, and I think he sold it. So, or is in the process of selling it. But yeah, I do miss some of the molds, and have bought one or two of them back since then, just to kind of mess around with them. But they're fun. There were some really great molds in that line. Do you guys have any memories of Transformers Prime that you want to share?
Well, I mean, being that this is alt mode, yeah, I want to talk about the show, which was amazing, starring The Rock, at least the first episode.
Right.
that was like one of the surprising things. It was like all hyped up. The Rock is in this Transformers show. He gets killed in the first episode. I think, particularly as it went along, the voice acting and the animation in the series is probably the best out of every Transformer series we've gotten. It was just fantastic, especially like towards the end. Frank Welker was just kind of eating up every scene he was in with Megatron.
Yeah, this was a return to Peter Cullen and Frank Welker as the regular Optimus Prime and Megatron for the whole series.
Yep.
And they recorded it, you know, all together, as opposed to what normally is happening these days, with everyone recording separately. I think that really has a lot to do with the camaraderie that you seem to get from the actors. It was just, you can tell they were having fun.
Oh yeah.
And this was also the debut of the Hub network, the Hasbro tried to, Hasbro had tried to have a TV network for kids. And I think it's now the Discovery Network or something.
It's Discovery Family now.
Yeah.
And I think the only show that lasted from this era is My Little Pony.
Yeah, I really, Amazing. I really enjoyed Transformers Prime. I wasn't really collecting toys at this point, but I watched every episode of Transformers Prime. And it was a really great show. I really enjoyed how they, you know, they took some classic characters, changed them around. They did some really interesting things. Went back to Cybertron a lot. One thing that sticks out, one episode that sticks out in my mind is when they had the vampire episode where all, like, you know, I forget which one of the characters became a vampire and then, like, was infecting all the Viacons on the ship. And was it Knockout and Starscream that were running from all the Viacon vampires? So I thought that was really fun. Yeah, I mean, it was a great show. Lots of really cool concepts and stories, and you know, even the human characters were slightly less annoying. But
Agent Fowler,
he was cool.
Agent Fowler was cool. One of the best human characters we've ever gotten.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson.
I know
Winston Zeddemore himself. That was cool.
Right on. Well, that's 10 years ago. So that's. I think the show finished before we started recording the podcast. We might have gotten the movie that they did at the end. I think that might have been one of the first things we did.
We did a few of the episodes, because I remember forcing Yoshi to watch them.
All right. Well, speaking of shows coming out, our next topic is about the next part of the trilogy for War for Cybertron. So we got news that Earthrise is going to be premiering on December 30th on Netflix. So set your DVRs. I don't know. You don't have to set your DVRs because it's Netflix.
Set your Netflix reminders.
Yeah. Put it in your calendar. Remind yourself to tune in, because that's coming up quick. That's a month away, and you'll be done Christmas, and most people will still be on winter break, so you'll be able to binge that sucker.
Maybe we should figure out a way to do it and have everyone chatting in Discord at the same time.
That'd be interesting. Set up a watch party,
something. Yeah, or just sync up and everyone hit play at the same time. I don't know. We'll talk internally about that.
You got big ideas, Jeremy.
I do. That gets me in trouble.
Oh, DJ Ronan says there's a Google Chrome plugin to help you synchronize things like that. So maybe we can investigate that.
Cool.
Disney Plus makes it easy. They have it built into their service now.
Well, that's cool. I'm excited about this. So we'll see. We'll see where the next six episodes takes us, and what they got planned for it. So that'll be interesting. I'm excited for this. Maybe have to give the first six a rewatch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
See if FJ DeSanto is willing to come back on and talk to us.
Yeah, right on. Okay, well, that's going to do it for media news.
All right, well, that will wrap it up for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. So, as always, we give a shout-out to our Masterpiece Donatrions, and currently that is John Forex Levengood. So thank you, as always, John, for continuing to support the show and being a Masterpiece Donatrion. We really appreciate you, and that's why we give you a shout-out in every episode. So thanks. And that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.